preaching tonight on when God causes the devil's plans to backfire. Hallelujah. In the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter, we'll try to conserve time and read just portions of this chapter. But the Bible said in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then dropping down to verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. When God causes the devil's plans to backfire, Bible readers and those that have read the Bible and studied the Word of God knows that there was a conspiracy against this great holy man Daniel. For you see, there was 120 princes in the providence at that particular time, and there was 3 presidents over those 120 princes, and the king made Daniel the top-notch president over all of the rest of the presidents and princes. And so that jealous spirit rose up in them. They did not like for this Hebrew to be over them. And so they sought occasion against the man of God. Stay with me and let me preach to you tonight. They sought occasion against the man of God. They began to watch his life. They begin to observe his habits. They begin to watch the way that he lived. And finally they come to the conclusion and said, we will not find anything against this Daniel because he's a perfect man and there's no error found in him. We'll not find reason against him unless we find it concerning him and the law of his God. And so they begin to observe Daniel's habits. And they found out that he had the habit of prayer. Oh, not all habits are bad habits. When you think of habits, you think about cigarettes and snus and beer drinkers and dope addicts. But here was a man that had a habit that was a good habit. I mean, his habit was unbreakable. He prayed 3 times a day with his window raised toward Jerusalem. And they began to notice his habit of prayer. And so they conspired against him. And they came before the king and said, oh king, you're such a noble king. And they began to elate him and lift him up. And they said, we want you to sign a petition, since you're such a great king, that if anyone asks a petition of any other god besides you for the space of 30 days, they'll be cast into the den of lions. The king, not knowing about the conspiracy against Daniel, he signed that decree. And pretty soon they began to watch. Someone run and told Daniel, said they've signed a decree. If anybody asks a petition of any other god for the space of 30 days, they're going to go into the den of lions. But Daniel said, I'm hooked on prayer. I've got me an unbreakable habit. I can't quit praying. Even though he knew the decree had been signed, he still went back to his place of prayer. He didn't close down the window, but he lifted his voice to the God of heaven and began to pray. Immediately they ran in and sprang the news and said, here's a man that's broken the law that you've signed. Even though the king favored Daniel, he had to stay with his word. And his signet meant so much there was no turning around. And so the Bible said that he commanded. And they brought Daniel and they cast cast him into the den of lions. Listen, the king went back with a sorrowful heart. He laid on his bed that night. He didn't want to hear any music. Something about it. He didn't want nobody to sing or play for him. His heart was troubled. Yeah, give me just a little bit more chord there. His heart was troubled. His soul was in perplexity. He began to wonder, what have I done against this righteous man Daniel? But oh, brother, down in the lion's den, I can see old Daniel right down in the midst of the den of lions. Yes, sir, it was not just a lion's den. It was a den of lions. For you see, it could have been a lion's den without any lions there. But they were lions in that den of lions. I can see the king. He rises up early in the morning and he runs down before about the break of day and he cries, "Oh, Daniel, does the God which thou servest continually, as he came and delivered thee?" I believe it even shocked the king when he heard a voice coming out of that den saying, "Oh, king, live forever, for God has sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouths. I'm still alive." Amen. Let me stay with me just a little bit longer here. We stopped in a motel the other day, and they had a little deal. They got the quarter in, and sleep on a vibrating mattress. Some of you saw those. Well, I imagine old Daniel, right down in the midst of that lion's den, was about the first one that ever slept on one of them vibrating mattresses, laying over on one of them old lions. Amen. While that lion purred, old Daniel slept away to the vibration of the purring of the lion. Oh, yes. The king went in a rage. He said, "This thing's going to backfire. Go get those ungodly men that's accused this holy man and bring them and their wives and their children and cast them into that same den of lions." And when they cast them in, oh, listen, before they ever touched the bottom, that lions was reaching out, breaking their bones to pieces. Let me say this to you. We're serving a God who's able to cause the devil's plans to backfire. She come out of the Messiah. Let me preach a while. Oh, on and on. I'll hurry with this. You read in the book of Esther, the 7th chapter, where there was a conspiracy against the Jews. You know why they were against the Jews? Because the same reason the devil's against us tonight. For there was a people in that kingdom whose laws were diverse. Amen. And they were a different people. That's why the devil hates holiness. If you live like the world, look like the world, act like the world, and go to the places of the world, you'll not suffer any persecution. But when you come out from among them and begin to live a separated, holy life unto God, brother, the devil's going to be on your case because you've become his enemy in the kingdom of God. And so that wicked Haman conspired to kill all the Jews. I'll have to hurry with this. But oh, yes, sir, he began to find favor with the king. What was the name of that king? I'm so elementary, I can't hardly pronounce it. Ahasuerus? All right, thank you. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Amen. Haman began to find favor with the king Ahasuerus. But oh, there came a day whenever Queen Esther and the king had Haman to come in and be their guest right into the chamber. Haman was so thrilled, he started home to tell his wife. But as he passed by the gate, he saw Mordecai, his enemy out there. And everyone was supposed to bow to Haman. But as he passed by, Mordecai wouldn't even recognize him. Wouldn't even bow. So he went home and told his wife, Zeresh. Said, "Listen, I found such favor with the king. Today they had a banquet, and I was the only one invited inside the chamber with the king and queen. And I'm invited again tomorrow. But none of these things avail me as long as my enemy Mordecai is sitting over there in the gate. Brother, he hated the Jewish people. Listen to me. His wife said, listen, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to build you a gallows 50 cubits high and hang that Mordecai on that gallows. And so that night King Ahasuerus, he began to read in the law, and he found where someone had conspired to take his life, and he sought out and said, who was this? And the men said, the scribe said, this was Mordecai. And he said, what has been done for this man? They said, there's been nothing done for this man for his notable deed. So the next day, when that wicked Haman came in to the king's palace, the king said, what should be done for the man of whom the king delights to honor? Haman said within his heart, now who would the king delight to honor more than me? Look out, Haman. It's getting ready to backfire on you. He got lifted up in pride. He said, I tell you what I think ought to be done. I think the man who the king delights to honor ought to put on the king's royal robe. Put the crown on him. Amen. Put him on a white horse and let someone lead him down through the streets and let the folks bow to him as he passes by. Yeah, Mordecai, I'm after your hide. But God's getting ready to backfire. And the king said, Haman said, go get Mordecai and you put the robe on him. Go get your enemy and put my crown on him. Amen. Put him on the white horse. And instead of you riding it, Haman, you're going to get to lead it. Yeah, a lot of folks think they're going to ride, but they're going to get to end up leading the horse when God gets through backfiring the devil's plans. So here goes Haman in humiliation, leading his enemy down the street on that white horse. But time went on, and I'll hurry. Oh, you know who hung from those gallows, don't you? When it was all said and done, I'll not go into it, but when it was all said and done, hanging from those gallows 50 cubits high was not Mordecai. Who did they hang there? Who do you think hung up there? Yes, it was that wicked Haman hanging from his own gallows. And the people of God was elevated and brought into the kingdom with greater liberty than they've ever had before. Yes, sir. Now let me get down to it. Did you know that the devil has a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place tonight? Every preacher, listen to me, preachers. The devil's got a plan to trap and trip you up somewhere down the road. If he don't get you on his short-range plan, he'll work on a long-range plan. But he's got a plan for you. And he plans to throw you before it's over. He's got a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place here tonight. And his plan is to doom and damn your soul in a devil's burning hell. He had a plan for old Don Rich. Yes, he did. That wrestling match lover. That country music lover. That loved to hear Ernest Tubb sing, I'm a walking the floor over you. He had a plan for me. He had planned on getting me out into the world. Got me to smoking a little and drinking a little. And his plans was to doom my soul in hell. But could I tell you, in a little old-fashioned church where the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, I marched down the aisle and the devil's plans backfired that day. Oh, hallelujah. And it's still backfiring on him tonight. Yes. Yes, sir. When God causes the devil's plans to backfire. Woo! Did you know the devil is going to destroy your soul? If he can, say mine. Yes, yours. He's got a plan for you. Preacher, if he can't get you by poverty, he'll prosper you. That's right. That's right. He's got a plan, and he's going to try to trip you up. But let me tell you my secret. I've got me a well-beaten path back to a place of safety. About every time the devil tries to trip me up, I found out that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it, and they are safe. Brother, let me tell you something. You can backfire the devil's plans if you'll run into that place of safety and call on the name of the Lord. Woo! Yes. When God causes the devil's plans to backfire. Where's old Charlie at? Charlie, where you at? Come here, boy. Hallelujah. Sure, you know what the devil intended to do. He intended to take a young man that was raised in a holiness home, whose brother was a holiness preacher, whose mom and daddy loves holiness. It was the devil's plan. Not only to wreck and miss and mix your life up, son, but the devil was after something inside of you that's more valuable than all of the other things combined. And that was your soul. But you was on your way to recovery when you called mom and dad and said, come and get me. I'm ready to pray. Thank God the devil's plan backfired again. And another soul is born into the kingdom of God. Yes. Some time ago, a young man visited our church. Long hair down below his shoulders. Pitiful shape. Left out. A few nights later, we received a call from a voice that was drunken and high on dope. We could not recognize the voice. And so carried away with the dope and alcohol that was in his system, that he could not tell me his name. Just so happened that he remembered enough about the church that he remembered to ask the operator how to get a hold of me. And they finally called my number. And on the other end of the line, in a voice deranged, a young man said, Brother Rich, if somebody don't help me, I'm going to kill myself tonight. I said, who is this? No response. I said, who am I speaking to and where are you? No response. Somebody's got to help. I said, who is it? Somebody's got to help me. Demons have got a hold of me. I'm going to take my life tonight unless somebody helps me. Where are you? No response. I sent Sister Rich to another phone. She tried to trace the call, and they were unable to do so. Tried to find out the location where this call was coming from, and nobody, the operators could not seem to find out. I kept saying, who is this? I'll pray for you. I'll come and help you if you'll tell me where you're at. No response. And finally, in a weakened voice, I heard two words said, Sunshine Store. I did not know there was a sunshine store in Norman. But I got to looking in the phone directory, and down on the campus there was a store called the Sunshine Store. I called one of the deacons, Brother Jim Willie. And we loaded up and we went down to see what we could find. And I told Sister Rich, I said, don't let this man off this phone. Talk to him. Don't let him get away until we can find out what's going on. When we came to the phone booth, we found that young man that had visited the church, hanging in there, hardly able to stand, in a drunken, doped up stupor. Devil's had a hold of his soul and his life, just about ready to take him into hell. I can hear the devil as he leaves out of hell that day telling the imps in hell, I'm going to bring a young man back with me tonight. When I come back, I'll have a young man 20 years old with me and others that I've taken for the night. But oh, listen, Brother Willie and I, we picked this young man up. We didn't take him home. We didn't take him no place else except the church. We unlocked the church, carried him in because he could not walk. Carried him to the front of the church and laid him on the old-fashioned altar. And we called the saints of God and young people and men begin to come, and we begin to pray till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and about 3:30, Brother Fred, God calls the devil's plan to backfire that night. Amen. And that young man found deliverance for his soul. I can see the devil as he comes back into hell that night, dragging with him the souls that he'd taken. I can hear the demon say, yes, I see that old man you've got there and that old woman, but I thought you was going to bring a young man back here with you. Well, you see, I hadn't intended to, but there was some holiness folk got a hold of him and got to calling on that name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and my plans have backfired. He's in the kingdom now, and I can't touch him there because the blood has his sins covered. Woo! Yeah, I gotta hurry. They told him. Yeah, he had several counts against him, and I went to court with him. The judge was getting ready to put him away. I told him, I said, the young man's had a change of heart, Judge. I'm not much of a lawyer, and I may be elementary, but when that Holy Ghost goes with you, brother, it makes a way for you. And it makes up for everything else that's lacking in your life. If you can get enough of the Holy Ghost, it'll make up the difference. Whatever you're lacking in ability, the Holy Ghost can fill that vacancy and make up that difference. I said, Judge, look at his hair. He's got him a good clean haircut. The judge said, I didn't hardly recognize him. Said, he's been in here before. I didn't hardly think it was the same man. Yeah, anytime you find Jesus, you'll come out from under the brush piles. Might as well tell it like it is. Come on now. Yeah, you will. You'll come on out from under the brush when you find Jesus. I said, look at him, Judge. I said, he's got him a good haircut. He's been a coming to church every time the church doors is open. We're praying with him. God's done something for him. He's changed him. The judge looked at him and said, son, you're halfway between here and the big house, which is this penitentiary, mind you. Said, you're halfway there. But said, I somehow believe this preacher, and I'm going to release you into his custody. And said, if you'll stay clean for 1 year and come back up here, said, I'll wipe the slate clean, and there'll not be one count against you. Well, God had already wiped it clean down at that old-fashioned altar. But my God, last April, amen, it was such a thrill to walk back in with him again before that judge. Said, a year's went by, Judge, and he's still serving God. What I'm trying to tell you, brother, we're serving a God that's able to make the devil's plans backfire and bring victory to the church of the living God. Y'all don't act like you believe what I'm telling you. Well, you can change that plan tonight and leave here with your name written in the book of life. Woo! Oh, Fred, let me tell you. I knew you boys all your life. I've seen you when you wasn't a preacher. I've seen your brother, Jim, when he was so wrapped up in ball. When you're so wrapped up in other things, God wasn't on your mind. But oh, why is this young man here as a pastor of the church? Somewhere in his life, the devil's plans backfired, and the blood that stained the old rugged cross was whiter than snow. Incidentally, there is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. They still lose all their guilty stains. When God causes the devil's plans to backfire. I've got a lot more stuff, but I'm going to whack about half of it off. I'd like to tell you that God's been backfiring the devil's plans in our lives down through the years. I was preaching on the radio one time, and the devil has on a daily program. The devil came up with a plan to get me off the air.
Oh, he hates this holiness message. If you just get on there and tickle folks' ears, he don't mind it. But when you get to blasting against sin and loading up the gospel gun and blasting the devil out of his hole, brother, he don't like that kind of gospel. And so they'd ordained a homosexual church in Kansas City and ordained ministers, supposedly of the gospel, who were homosexuals. So I just took my radio time to blast that bunch of devils. Come on now. And I began to preach that day on the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And boys, let me tell you something. You boys want to go around with your hair down over your ears, touching your collar, wearing them frilly shirts and the effeminate pants. I want you to know you're hell bound unless God backfires the devil's plans. And he can't do it unless you're willing to come to him. Just throw that in for good measure. So I was preaching away. And all of a sudden, I was preaching in the station, and the phone rang in the office of the manager, who was Assembly of God man, like so many Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Church of God, Pentecostal, holiness, free, holiness Church of God. He was in a backslidden, compromising condition, and you'll find more of them, and you'll find on fire for Jesus Christ, and you know it's right. But still, he had respect for the truth. But this man come on and said, is this the manager? He was telling me this later. He said, yes, it is. He said, I want that man off this station. I've got the money and the means to get him off that station. And said, if you don't get him off the station, we'll see that he's off the station. Said, a man like that should not even be allowed to live, much less preach. But as long as Jesus says live, you're going to live. For he said, the thief cometh to rob and to steal and to destroy and to kill. But I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Listen to me. The manager said, I started monitoring your program then, Brother Rich. Said, boy, you was strapping it on heavy. Said, I got afraid those fellas would come and demand equal time over my station, and they can do it according to the law. They can do it. He said, fear gripped my heart, and I started to reach over and just shut you off. Said, you'd never known it until someone had told you later, but said, I started to shut you off, and said, the phone rang again. Said, I picked it up as another man said, who is that preaching? He said, that's Brother Rich, the holiness preacher. And he said in his heart, I thought, well, here's another complaint. That man said, sir, what will it take to keep that man on the air? We've got to have that kind of gospel. Said, tell that man I'm sending $500 for the support of his radio work. And brother, he sent it too. And the devil's plans backfired again. Over and over and over and over. Oh, hallelujah, brother. You would have more success standing on your tiptoes trying to blow out the sun than to stop God's holy men who are preaching the Word of God and declaring the truth to this generation. Well, I'm feeling like preaching tonight, brethren. When God causes the devil's plans to backfire, brother. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Did he ever backfire any of the devil's plans in your life? Let's see your hand. He's healed in our home when it looked like our children was going to die. My brother Bill Rich, who started drinking at the age of 18, looked like he would be an alcoholic. He come home. He said, I'm not going to drink around mom and daddy. But the clutches of the devil had such a hold on him, he came home one night drunken and broke my poor mother's heart and broke my father's heart. He talked hateful like I never heard him talk to mom and daddy before. But a few nights later, in a little town called Jennings, Oklahoma, with a bunch of rough and rowdy men who were drinking, they stopped in front of a little Assembly of God church. I didn't say a charismatic. I mean, I'm talking about a church where the old-fashioned preacher was still preaching the blood-bought way. And one of the young men said to my brother, said, Bill Rich, I dare you to go into that church. Here went Bill, not willing to take a dare. Amen. Staggered into the church. Amen. Drinking pretty heavily. Amen. As he staggered in. The old-fashioned preacher was proclaiming the truth of God's holy word. No wonder Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It got a hold of my drunken brother's heart, and he staggered down to the altar. And there, the devil's plans backfired. His buddies left him, and the preacher had to bring him home that night. Come in. He told him, we live way out in the country. Come in and knocked on the door. Said, Mommy, get up. Mother thought maybe he was drunken again. She got up and lit the old kerosene lamp. But she saw it glow on my brother's face. Said, Bill, the Lord's done something for you, hadn't he? Said, yeah, Jesus saved me tonight, Mommy. Oh, brother, you talk about rejoicing. Now Bill Rich is a preacher of the gospel. What I'm trying to tell you, brother, the God that we serve is able to cause the devil's plans to backfire even in your life tonight. And now I'll hurry quickly to the greatest backfire. Oh yes, the devil has always been at odds against God. It's always been his plan to stop the program of God, Cody. But I'll tell you, when Jesus Christ laid in that manger a holy little infant child, it caused hell to shudder that day. Shamamamakatasaya. Oh, Mary, the mother of Jesus, that precious holy virgin. Say, do you pray to Mary? No, but I honor her. And the Bible said she's to be called blessed of all nations. Why, my brother? Because she was so holy that she was living so close that the Holy Ghost was able to come upon her, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she conceived seed not of mortal man but of the Holy Ghost, and that which she brought forth was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, if you please, being interpreted God with us. Mary probably didn't realize it all as she took those swaddling clothes and took that little infant and wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. What are you wrapping up, Mary? I know it's a holy child, but Mary, you're wrapping up the Rock of Ages. You're wrapping up the Lily of the Valley. That's the Rose of Sharon wrapped up in those swaddling clothes. You got the Lamb of God in there. You got the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the author and the finish of our faith. You've got wrapped up in those swaddling clothes. And the devil shudders again. He conspired a plan to kill all the children, all the male children under 2 years old. But you know the story. Mary and Joseph, being warned of God, fled into Egypt. And the devil's plans backfired. Over and over again in the life of Christ, the devil's plans backfired. But finally he said, I've come up with a plan. Since the world won't kill him, since he's finding such favor among those where he's working miracles and healing the sick and comforting troubled hearts and breaking loaves and fishes and feeding the multitudes, I must come up with a better plan. And he came up with a plan for the church itself. Worked out a plan to conspire and to kill the precious Son of God. And there in Pilate's judgment hall, oh, with a crown of thorns around his head, with his back bleeding and bruised and suffering, he heard the sentence of the people when Pilate said, what shall I do with this man which is called Christ? He heard the people as they sentenced him and said, let him be crucified. Crucify him. Crucify him. I believe the devil jumped with glee. Said, at last I've come up with a plan that's going to work. Stay with me, Brother Fred. Don't want nobody running in or out now. Amen. The devil's plans are going to backfire in a little bit. Hallelujah. Yeah, I can hear the devil say to the little imps in hell, man, we've came up with one now. Look at that Roman soldier with that cat of nine tails, and he's plowing deep furrows in his back. But God said, when you get through with your plan, devil, I'll take those stripes and I'll make a plan of healing for God's people. I'll backfire your plan on you. Amen. Amen. And Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Listen. With a back bleeding and bruised. Oh. The Bible said his visage was more marred than any man. There was no beauty or comeliness about him that any man should desire him. So great was his suffering. He suffered more than any other man. For he tasted of death for every man. Did you know that? Your filthy rotten sins and my rotten sins was upon this holy man. The devil jumping for glee. The imp shouting, getting the banquet ready. Yeah. We've got the Son of God marching up Golgotha's hill. In a little while we'll be through with him. And so hanging there between two thieves on an old rugged tree, they hung him on the center cross. And the Bible said, cursed be every man that hangeth on a tree. He was a curse for you and for me, because he that had no sin knew no sin. There they hung him on the center cross, the highest spot outside of the hills of Jerusalem. But God had a reason for that too. He wanted those that would not believe later, he wanted them to know that this was the man. Didn't put him down on a lower cross, but he put him up on the highest one there. For you see, he was living 40 days after his resurrection, and they had to recognize him. That's the man that hung on the center cross. But listen closely. As he hung there, oh, he cried out, I thirst. Yes, he that came to bring the living water, he died thirsty, my friend. I said, he died thirsty. And hanging there, they mocked him. They railed on him. They said, if thou be the Christ, why don't you save yourself? Others said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. There was a multitude of witnesses there that would testify that he did save others. And in one truth, it is not truth that he could not save himself, for he could immediately call 12 legions of angels. And yet in another essence, it was truth. For had he saved himself, he could not have saved others. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Had he saved himself, you would not be saved tonight. And so, hanging there, he cried, I thirst. In mockery, they ran a sponge of vinegar and gall, but he refused it. And then the Bible tells us that after a while, I can hear the devil say, I'll run up to Calvary now. He should be about gone. Let me run up there and stand on the sidelines and see what's happening. And he views afar off. And he hears someone say, Eli, Eli, sabachthani? Which being is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Devil runs back into hell. Said, even the heaven the Father's forsaken him. Boy, this thing's working for sure. I'll run back up. I'll keep you posted what's going on up there. Runs back up there. Stands afar off. And he hears coming from a fevered lip, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. I have no way of proving this, but I think the devil probably got mixed up. Run into hell and said, I heard him say he's finished. Oh, but he didn't say I am finished. He said it is finished. The perfect plan of salvation for the redemption of lost mankind was completed. Listen. The devil said, all right, boys, we got her going our way. Get a big banquet fixed. And Mr. Death, you get ready to hold him now. Don't you let him go. Oh, I can hear Death say, yeah, don't worry about it. I held Abraham. He's a father of faith, and I held him. And I held Adam, that first Adam I was able to hold. He's still down here in captivity. I've got that strong man, Samson. He's still over here. I've got Isaac and Jacob, who was heirs of with Abraham of the same promise. I'm still holding them. Got him right down here in captivity. Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth. Yeah, but he wasn't wise enough to get away from me. I can hold any of them. I hear the devil say, yeah, but Mr. Death, it's been prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, amen, that you wouldn't be able to hold him. And David the psalmist said that thou would not suffer, will not leave his soul in hell, neither would he suffer his holy one to see corruption. Oh, don't worry about it. The man that prophesied that, I've still got him down here too. Look over there in the chamber. I've still got David over there. Don't you worry. Yeah, Malachi's there. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, I've got them all. I've got every one of them over here in captivity. But listen, about that time, up in the city of Jerusalem, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea begs the body of Christ. And he's taken the body off of the cross. I've always loved Joseph. I've always loved him. While others drove in the nails, it was Joseph that pulled the nails out and carried that Jesus to his own tomb. I've always had respect for that man. Listen to me. Listen to me. Put him in his own tomb. And up at the honcho's place, the high priest's office. Amen, there's another conspiracy. Said we better set a watch out there. His disciples are going to come at night and steal him away. And the last error of this imposter will be worse than the first. Herod said, go make the watch as fast and safe and sure as you can. Want to make sure that nobody steals the body away. And so it looks like the devil and death has triumphed. But oh, the Bible said in Ephesians 4:8, before he ascended, he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And about that time, rattling the gates of hell, the devil hears a voice and a noise out there about the time that the banquet's about ready to start. I wonder what that is. I hear one of the demons say, hey, reckon this thing's backfiring on us. And about that time I hear a voice say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory's going to come in. I said, he's going to come on in. And about that time the devil runs over and he applies a stinger to him. But the sting of death had no effect on him. Said, I'll call those worms and put the worms on him. But the worms couldn't corrupt that holy body. And Satan walks on in and says to Satan, Jesus walks on in and says to Satan, give me those keys. You've had them long enough. Give them to me. And the Bible said he left out of there. And when he left, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. Brother, I'm telling you, the devil's plan backfired again. And John saw him. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Ooh. And so the devil says, there's only one thing left to do. That's to keep every man, woman, boy, and girl away from that fountain of blood. If I can keep them away from that, I can still conquer. Whenever a saint dies, the devil looks at that grave. We'll probably put a saint away right out here. Tomorrow or Saturday is Brother Long. Put him down in that clay. The devil may leap for glee a little bit. But wait a minute, what's the lowly Nazarene saying? Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, I've got the keys to death and of hell. Oh, brother, listen to me. There's only one way, sinner, that you can keep the devil's plan from working. And that's to come to Jesus. But oh, I promise you this much. If you'll come and be covered by the blood of the Lamb, the devil's plan must backfire. Whew. I dare any demon or any devil in hell to walk over the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, I may die and go by the way of the grave. But because the captain of my salvation, the one whom it was not possible to be withholden with death, because he came forth on that great resurrection morning, the devil's plans is going to backfire again. And every saint of God's going to get up out of the graves. And we're going to be caught up together with those that are here alive on this earth who are saints. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what about it tonight? You are the only one that can play the part in your life in causing the devil's plans to backfire. It's up to you. Just as sure as you're here and just as sure as there's a hell, just as sure as you're here without Christ, the devil's plan will work. And in long eternity, you will spend on and on and on in a devil's burning hell. But right here at these altars tonight, the devil's plan will have to backfire. So I don't think Jesus could save me. He said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." There's not a sin so black. There's not a sin so deep. Oh, brother, that the blood cannot cover. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Brother Fred Wiley, I feel like having a runaway tonight. I'm a good notion just to turn loose. Amen. And circle this place crying, "The devil's plan's backfired. The devil's plan's backfired." How many believe it's backfired tonight? I'll tell you, everyone here that's saved is a witness that the devil's plan has backfired. I've got to quit. I've got to quit. I'm preaching myself to death tonight. But oh, brother, when I get to thinking about it, how the Lord's putting it on the devil. Oh, it may look like Saturday when we bury Brother Albert, it may look like he went down in defeat. But I saw him right over there yesterday morning, just a few hours afternoon, just a few hours before he died, with his hands lifted toward heaven, worshiping the Lord. He's not a defeated individual tonight. He is a victor because of Christ and His own cleansing power and because of His plan. And now tonight, while every head is bowed, maybe there's someone here. You know the devil's been trying to trip you up. But tonight, his plan can backfire. Ooh. Little woman called me one night. Tell this, and then we'll give the altar call. So would those that are getting a song come. I'd preached one day. Sister Rich and I had been out visiting a lady who had just lost her husband. We'd returned to the church late. Sometimes I preached at the station, sometimes over recordings, and sometimes straight from the church. I did not have time to make it to the station, so I wheeled into the church and got plugged in. Looked at the timepiece, and it was about 4 minutes till I was supposed to go on the air. And I felt completely blank. Thought, "I don't have nothing to give." And all of a sudden, I opened my Bible, I believe it's Psalms 102. I saw a scripture said, "I watch, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop." And the Lord said, "Preach about that sparrow alone on the housetop." Like many other preachers, I said, "God, I don't have nothing to go with it." And every preacher here knows that usually you need something to go with it. And so I started thumbing through the Bible, looking over other things that I had down. About that time, I was listening to a little radio monitor in the station. I started playing my theme song. And the announcer said, "It's time for Brother Don Rich, the holiness preacher." And to my utter amazement, I said, "I'm reading today from the 102nd Psalm, and I'm preaching about a sparrow alone on the housetop." Man, I didn't know I knew all that, and I don't guess I did. But the Holy Ghost knew all about it. The first thing you know, I was preaching about you're more value than many sparrows. Not one sparrow falleth to the ground without the Heavenly Father. Brother, I was rolling it off. I even brought out a scripture I had to look up later. Said the sparrows have found them a place for their young, even thine altars, O Lord. I had to look that up later to see where it was at. I said, "You may feel like you're a sparrow alone on the housetop, but the Heavenly Father's got His eye on you." At 2 o'clock in the morning, went off the air, and 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and a voice said, "You saved my life today." And I said, "No, I didn't save nobody's life that I know of." They said, "Is not this the preacher that preached about the sparrow alone on the housetop?" I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "You saved my life." So I was driving to the outskirts of the city, a loaded 38 on the dash, going outside of the city limits and I was going to take my life. And so I happened to turn on the radio and said, you said something about a sparrow alone on the housetop, and said, that's just the way I felt. I felt like nobody cared for me. I felt like a sparrow alone on the housetop, but I listened to your message and I changed my mind. And I've came home now and I've been thinking and reading the Bible. I said, I hate to call you at 2 a.m, it's so late. But said, I just got through giving my heart to Jesus. And I'd like for you to know, amen, that I've changed my mind and I've come to the Lord. Oh, brother, another time the devil's plan backfired. That's why I keep preaching this gospel. That's why I keep shaking the bushes and preaching holiness. It'll work. It'll work right here tonight, sinner, for you. If you'll come to this altar, Jesus' blood can make the vine a sinner clean while every head is bowed. Singing softly, please. Would there be one you'd lift your hand? Say, Brother Rich, I'm lost and undone. I'd like to come to Jesus tonight and surrender my life to Him. Lift that hand quickly. Over in this section, over to my right. Right over here. Would there be one you'd lift your hand and say, Preacher, I do not want to go to hell. I do not want to be lost. Please remember me in prayer. Would you raise that hand quickly? Right here in this section, quickly tonight. Quickly tonight. Yes, I see you, young man. Right here on the front row. Are there others tonight? Right over in this right-hand section. You lift your hand. And... yes, I see that hand. Are there others? Right in this section here. You say, Brother Richard, the enemy's got a hold of my soul. And I want to come to Jesus before the devil destroys me in hell. Lift your hand. The devil's plans will have to backfire. Come on, raise that hand quickly. Right here directly in front of me tonight. Would your hand be lifted quickly now? How about a young man? Right there, you know you're not right. Won't you raise your hand quickly? Say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. Right here immediately in front of me. Right here, that's right. Right over here, son. Right here, that young man that raised his hand. Come right on right now. Come on in and pray. Hallelujah. Come on right now. We're going to move right on around the building here. Right here, son. You lift your hand. Come right on. Seek the Lord tonight. That's right. Oh, every soul is valuable. Right here in front of me tonight. You raise your hand. Say, Brother Rich, I'm not ready to meet Jesus. The devil's going to destroy me, but I want to come and call on Jesus' name. Would you lift your hand quickly? Anywhere.